I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Hello, and welcome to Season 12, Episode 11 of the Relentless Pursuit Podcast, Knowing Our Yeses and Nos.
So last week, we gave a little tour of what the Katapanos are doing to try to make time for it all. And as you listened to last week's episode, really the last two episodes, we're really talking about how we tend to prioritize our activities and behaviors and goals and make room within the midst of still being responsible to our primary commitments. And to be honest, there are many times we feel extremely productive and fulfilled, and there are other times when we feel just totally overwhelmed and reactive and concerned, from my end, a bit obsessive that we're missing something. So what we shared last week really was more of a guideline than a formula, just an example, really. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, then we highly recommend that you do that. But as we were reflecting on that and just continue to look at how we dive into life, we realize that life is so beautiful and it's so rich and full of amazing opportunities. So how do we embrace as many of these as we can?
Yeah, I mean, in some of the conversations we've had, just like in our own life and private conversations, you know, we talk about like, just think about like when we're grandparents, right? And we have this beautiful life that we've lived, and then we're talking to our grandkids about like the things that we've done and the opportunities we've taken, right? And this kind of is always goes hand in hand with you of like not wanting to lead a boring life, but saying that you did try and you did, even if you failed, that like, do you remember the time we did this, or that we tried this opportunity, or we took this risk, and having life be kind of like this exciting journey of experience that teaches us more than just like what we learn, you know, in a book or in school, and then being able to share that like wealth of like knowledge and love and pursuit with like other generations.
So that leads us to our conversation this week. What we want to talk about this week is another important consideration when it comes to making time for it all. And that is what we're saying yes to in our life and what we're saying no to. And the more I look into this, there's so much mixed advice. There's like all these people out there, these influencers, and they're like, here's five reasons why you need to start saying yes more often. And then you look at like the very next thing and they're like, here's five reasons why you need to say no and have boundaries. And so there's a lot of confusing and often contradictory advice. So what we wanted to do is just try to dive into that, disambiguate that a little bit, or perhaps confuse you more. And then just ourselves figure out what are some of the core principles that help drive what we're saying yes to and what we're saying no to.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend that we've been talking about this for like maybe like 3 or 4 years, and maybe she's just smarter than I am. But, you know, we always talk about, she's like, well, what are you saying yes to like in this next season of your business or in this like next season of parenting? And it's been a part of our conversation in our like in our friendship. And that's always kind of been interesting, is like kind of realizing what you're saying yes to and then the reasons why. And so we kind of were talking about that last week in terms of like how we structure our day and our family time and what we're including in our lives. It's like, what's the why behind it? That we're not just willy-nilly picking things, but it's because it's based on kind of like our values and our vision for our life. But this is kind of like something that you probably have to do a little introspective work on. It's like, what are you saying yes to? What are you filling your time with? What are you saying no to? And are you saying yes and no to the right or the wrong things?
Yeah. And that's challenging. The way that you approach yeses and nos, as we'll get into, may change depending on just where you're at. And how, it could be how old you are or your level of experience or interest in any given domain. But one thing that I really don't like is when, you know, you talk to people and people are often like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy. And we say that too. And I try to avoid that word busy, because busy feels like you're just like reacting to things. Like you're not necessarily in control, as though perhaps there are too many yeses in your life that you're, the busyness is you just shuttling around between all those different yeses. So what we want to get into is, first of all, maybe how we can use the word busy a little bit less to describe our life, but also how can the concept of yeses and nos, how that's important for how we think about what we open ourselves to ultimately.
And I think I've stopped using that word, like when people ask, like, oh my gosh, you're so busy. And I was like, well, we're constantly moving, but we're always moving towards something. To me, busy is like almost like spiraling, where you never really get anywhere and you're kind of just like circling, like maybe you're even circling the drain. But I always feel like while we're active and while we're constantly in motion, I don't feel like we're like in this busy reactive state. And so hopefully this conversation maybe gets you to think about moving out of the circle and then moving, like, you know, towards something.
Yeah. Or sometimes in school, the kids are like, oh, the teacher just assigned us busy work. It's like, it's work, but it's not necessarily meaningful.
Right. And so useful. That's kind of in the things in our life that we're saying yes or we're saying no to, right? Like, is it meaningful things that are moving us closer to what we say we want?
All right. So what we want to dive into is just some of the core principles at work with how yeses and nos operate in our life. So we'll start just with a few general observations and then maybe get to some decision-making kinds of formulas or matrices.
Matrices. Wow. All right. Let's go for it.
Yeah. I like it when it's all spelled out in a nice little grid-like pattern, then I feel a little bit more confident. But life rarely is that way. So here's the first major observation that we were talking about recently is that we tend to say yes when we're at the beginning of something.
Yeah, you say yes when you don't know any better, really.
Well, I look back to the beginning of my career and other beginnings as well. And in those instances, it could be really wise to say yes, because at that time, you're probably maybe not currently tethered to too many prior yeses. So like when I first started as a teacher, I think about all the opportunities that came up that I said yes to. And you tend to want to say yes because, I mean, good wisdom is just like, don't turn down anything that comes up. But this slowly changes. And when you reach a certain degree of experience, because this could be in your career, could be in other areas, it becomes wise to then start saying no. And I think this is where some of the confusing advice we hear, like the yeses and the reasons for yeses and nos are both good reasons, except it depends where you're at with certain things. So I look back to the yeses that I've been saying, and those are often opportunities that come up where we're in a position where we need to gain experience and we need to gain a name and build a reputation and keep our doors open. So that's usually when we're saying yeses, is often if we can say at the beginning of things.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean, I think back to that, like in your teaching career or in my teaching career, I think back to like just a lot of different things that I've tried where like someone asks you to do something and I've said yes. And through those yeses, it's helped me figure out A, like what I like and what I don't like, B, like what my strengths and my weaknesses are. And sometimes like C also helps me know if this is the right thing, if it's just the next thing, or how this can help me with the next thing. You know, it's kind of like this progression of let me try this on, let me gain some experience, let me see what I can learn from this. And maybe it is that I fall in love with this exact thing and it's meant for me, but maybe it's just an opportunity on my way to the next thing.
Yeah, there is several benefits. One of those is that chain of opportunity that emerges, where if you say yes to this thing, then that's going to open up other doors, or people know like, oh, like they say yes, let me go to them with this next thing that might interest them. But can you imagine the opposite? Let's just think about careers for a moment, where you're just starting out as a young professional and you say no to everything. Like there's a variety of opportunities. Not necessarily anything anyone is forcing you into, but if you're just no, like you're cutting off all those potential opportunities to learn, to grow, to gain experience, to network, to figure out what you like, to gain confidence, and so on.
Well, right. And while you don't always want to be a yes man, right, like taking on too much or always doing what somebody else wants you to, you know, there is some, you know, setbacks to always saying no. Like if people feel like they can't count on you or rely on you, right, or if you're not willing to kind of stretch and grow, those are the kinds of people that other people don't keep around for very long.
Yeah. So I think about teaching, and I remember it was probably, I don't know, my first week as a teacher. there I was, 22 years old, in the copy room, in the good old copy machine room. And someone was talking to me, like, oh, you're a new English teacher. You should help me coach the speech team. I was like, sure. You know, I know it's a good idea, like as a new teacher, to get involved with some of the sports and activities. So that was one that kind of landed on my plate. I'm like, sure. And then I ended up doing that for the next 8 years. Or I had someone say, like, hey, there's this conference coming up. You should go to that. I'm like, okay, sure. Or you should present at that conference. Okay, here's a class. You should teach that. Okay. And just like being open to those things. And there is a lot of things I think about in the first 10 years of teaching that I said yes to. And all of those things tended to like lead towards something else, some of which, much of which was in education, and some of which kind of spiraled outside of education into other areas that I'm interested in too. So I think about, okay, remember I used to write all these online articles?
You did.
And that was like a little side hustle. And I wrote, I don't know, probably by the end of it, I'd say probably 500 articles that are out there online somewhere that were in all about education. And that was fun. And I did at some point started, at two separate points, I started JordanCatapano.com, like a little education blog.
Yes, you did.
I served on as many committees as I could get my hands on for quite some time too. I was even, this is tangentially related, but I was on a private school's school board. I'm like, hey, like I know education. I think I can do this kind of thing. And that was interesting. And over time, I had a chance to realize, like, here's what I'm good at. Here's what I'm not so good at. Here's what I'm interested in. And, you know, eventually I was in administration as well, which I said yes to and I pursued. And I realized that that was a no. After a few years doing that, I was like, actually, it's not as favorable as some of the other aspects of education that I've put other time into. So there's been like this slow decades long, like experimentation with saying yes to a number of things. But then we get to like that transition point where once you've said yes enough, then you can be allowed to say no.
Well, let's back up before we get into any of the no's. And I think, in, like, you know, you've painted a picture of like saying yes to multiple things, being asked and saying yes, right? For all the right reasons, right? Gaining experience, making a name for yourself, like creating a good reputation, keeping your doors open, like figuring out what you like and what you don't, your strengths and weaknesses. But in that, would you say that behind some of those yeses was some like fear and uncertainty?
Yes. But also mixed with that is some excitement too. It's like, oh, this is something new. Like, let me get into this and let me figure this out. You're almost like desperate for the experience. And you know getting into it that it might be a flop.
Okay. And maybe that I would say like maybe that's unique to you, but I would say maybe why some people say no, right? Like the colleague who gets asked to do all of these things and always says no is that they are, right? It's kind of like they're hiding behind fear. It's like, well, I don't have the experience. I've never done that before. So I'm going to say no because I don't think I'm good enough. And I think one thing that I've learned, especially in the last decade, is like, if you aren't scared, if it doesn't seem a little uncomfortable, if it's a little bit outside of maybe like your normal wheelhouse, like then maybe you're not like dreaming or reaching far enough or big enough. And so like when presented with an opportunity, even if you feel maybe uncertain or not totally prepared or that you don't have the experience, you can't automatically let that be a no, right? Like sometimes when we don't know the most, that's the time we have to grow the most, right? Because then we have to like almost like overly prepare and overly like try towards something other than just doing something that's like easy and monotonous.
Yeah. I think about, I did other online writing too. Remember, there was a website called Elance, which eventually transitioned or was bought by Upwork, which people can find today. But I did freelance writing. And at that time, I said yes to anyone who would hire me. And at the beginning, you kind of have to. Like, you put out all these bids, and it's like, oh, finally someone wants to hire me, and they don't really want to pay me that much. But that's okay, because I need just a few initial ratings to grow an experience and a client base and so on. And I said yes to a lot of weird things. Like, I think the first job I had was, I wrote...
When you say weird things, I wonder what people are imagining.
Well, yeah, I'm just remembering a few of them now. And it's just, I was just glad like someone hired me and I could put some of my writing skills to, you know, I would say good use, but even then it was like,
to a paycheck.
Just to use. Yeah. I did translation for, there were like these two Russians that had to give presentations in English. So I don't, and not that I could translate, but they like wrote it in their very broken English. And then I like translated it into educated professional English for them. All these like PowerPoint presentations.
I didn't even know that you did that.
There was this one guy who had a whole bunch of wine shops and he wanted all these blog posts about wine. So he would write long bullet point lists of everything he wanted in a particular article. And then I would turn it into an article. Or another guy who was in the food industry and he knew all about like some aspect of like non-commercial kitchens or whatever. So I wrote a whole bunch of articles for him. We'd usually have a phone call and I'd take notes and then I'd write those. I'd write a lot of emails, a lot of marketing emails. I did some website stuff for people. And, but then like some of that I enjoyed and some of it, like there's this one guy who he's like, all right, here's, I want you to write an article about this. And I would, he's like, okay, I want you to rewrite that 12 more times. Just like rephrase every sentence. It was called spinning. So he could post like the same article 12 different times. It looks like 12 slightly different articles. That was a chore. I'm like, I can't do that. That was ridiculous. You know, these are
not even three different times, 12 different times.
Oh yeah. So, but I said yes to all those things. And especially at the beginning, you're like, you don't even, like, give me, I don't know, give me $50. It could be a $300 job or a $500 job, but give me $50 for it just so I have the chance to do it and get the experience and get my name out there, get my 5-star rating or whatever. So you're a little bit more eager at the beginning, I think, just to jump on opportunities, even if you know you're not that good or not that experienced and are not going to get paid that much, because it's the idea that it leads to other opportunities, maybe other clients or other experiences and things. But along the way, you gain the confidence in the experience and the ability to recognize what you like or not.
Well, right. And then you kind of learn to like what the opportunity cost is. Like if I'm doing this for somebody else in the future, like it's definitely worth, like I know it's going to take X amount of hours and it's now worth X amount of dollars because I have experience and I know what I'm doing. And so kind of like that saying yes to everything is kind of like that, like you're kind of underselling yourself. And you know, there's, I think, a time and a place for that. But then like you said, there comes, you know, a time where like we transition out of yes to everything, right? And then we kind of understand the power of a no or what that looks like.
I have two quotes here. One is from Derek Sievers. He's a writer and a speaker and generally good, inspirational guy. This is from a podcast conversation he had a number of years ago. But he also says, he's like, I think it's really smart to switch strategies, kind of like we alluded to. When you're earlier in your career, I think the best strategy is just to say yes to everything, every piddly little gig. You just never know what are the lottery tickets.
It's true. I mean, I see that now in my business. I've seen it for years in my business where I said yes to doing one event one time, and that turned into an event business that is now a wedding business. And it's, you know, you say yes and you're like, what's going to come of this? And I could have never even imagined, you know, and saying yes to the right type of person at the right time then like has, you know, a trickle down effect where it was just things can snowball.
And I have another quote from Mark Manson. What he wrote this one book we have. It's got the swear in the title. It's above my head somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
On the bookshelf here. Anyway. He also says on his blog, he says, early in your career, you need to jump into every opportunity you can get. So you say yes to everything, even the things that seem kind of dumb or pointless or weird or inconvenient. You say yes and do them anyway, because you never know what doors they will open. Then, as you start building your skills and reputation, you begin to find yourself in situations where you have more opportunities than you need. This is when you begin to strategically start saying no. By saying no, you're able to focus on the opportunities that present the biggest upside, and you get even further faster. Eventually, you arrive at a point where you're forced to say no to almost every opportunity. Congratulations, you have now made it.
And I think that's funny. I was having a conversation with someone who works for me, and they had basically brought me like a referral, and I said, well, I'm already booked on that date. And this season, we're actually short staffed. I've got someone out on maternity leave. I have like my best employee, you know, not living in Illinois for 5 months. So like my hands are tight as to how many weddings I can now currently take. And I said, so unless you can work that wedding, Like, then I'm going to have to say no. And she was like, what do you mean? And I said, well, I don't know if you know this, but like, I say no to dozens upon dozens of weddings a year. She's like, what? I go, well, there's only so many people that are working for me. And if we're already double booked, I said, like, you don't want to work because you're going on vacation. This one doesn't want to work because, you know, her cousin's getting married. I said, I say no all the time. And they couldn't fathom that, like, you know, there's an opportunity there. But I said, but I'm only right. We're only a certain number of people. We can only take a certain number of weekends or weddings or and she was like blown away by that.
So it seems like the right time to say yes is when you're at the beginning of, we'll just say, of something. And I think careers are often the best illustrations. But if we change this to like personal life, like maybe I wouldn't know. So don't take my advice here. But if you're dating,
I wouldn't know. The last date I went on was
right.
I was 15 years old.
Right. But you can apply the same principle. Like, just say yes. Like, hey, like, go meet this person. Go meet this person. Go meet this person. And don't be flippant about it. These are not like all like, you know, one night stands or whatever. Just like, you know, start meeting people. Put yourself out there. Say yes to those opportunities. And like one opportunity leads to the next. And you never know which one is going to be that lottery ticket. So just keep playing the lotto. But those yeses get a little bit more intense too, because if you say yes to a date and then you're saying yes to dating and then you're saying yes to engagement and marriage and kids, right? Once you say you go down that line, now you have some of those yeses are the things that you have currently committed to. And kind of like these statements say, like you've said yes enough to the right things that you then need to start saying no, because you have more opportunities than you can feasibly do. Just within the total scope of your life. I think about like parenting too. Like think about parenting our first kid. In a sense, that's like the beginning of something. And you say yes to everything when it comes to that first kid.
Yes. Every holiday room party, you say yes to. Every read aloud, you say yes to. Every everything.
No, just every little cry.
Oh, yeah. They're
little, the little angel makes, right? Like, oh, what do you need? Let me hold you. Right. Every request. Oh, certainly. Can I play with you? Oh, I'd love to. Right.
Sure.
Can we go to the park? Let's do it. Let's do it five times. Right. So you say yes over and over and over again until like you have that second kid. And there's something about the second kid that teaches you like, oh, like, okay, I see what I did with the first that was truly valuable and what was in excess or unnecessary or whatever. And so then you can kind of change your behaviors. You can tailor your behaviors to really like maximize your parenting in a more efficient way. So I'm just trying to come up with other examples of areas that you're saying yes to versus starting to curtail that a little bit.
Well, and I think that also goes back to, okay, so great. You want opportunity. You want to get experience. So you say yes. But I also think sometimes if it excites you and it's moving you towards something, I think those are good reasons to say yes. But like on my sheet, I circled, why are we saying yes? And I'm thinking in my past, like what are reasons I've said yes to things, right? Is it to please other people? Is it out of guilt or shame or fear? Like I have to say yes to this because if I don't, like this is going to like, you know, this is going to like make it known that, you know, something's wrong. Or is it like I'm saying yes to this because it's important to somebody else? It's not important to me. And actually, it's killing me, but I'm doing it for someone else. And so I think we really always have to go back to that why, too, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah. It's like, okay, let me, like, what's my initial reaction to this opportunity? And what are the motivations driving that reaction?
So even if, like, you're talking about dating, right? Like, oh, I have this friend, he really wants to meet you. But like, you know, like right now, like even if you went on a date with him, like you're really just like, you're not ready for like what, like dating, you're not ready for engagement. You're not ready for like what's next. So right, like it's unfair to someone maybe to say yes, right, in that situation, if you're not ready for like what comes after that.
Yeah. So it takes a moment just to be honest with yourself too, and be like, oh, you know, actually, I'm not that interested in hanging out with anybody right now. But thank you.
Right. But you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. So you go, right. So like, I think you have to look at the intention behind like why you're saying yes.
All right. Here's a few things to remember about when you're getting started. At first, and this could be for any of the things that we've discussed. At first, you're bad, but you get better. At first, we don't know what we like, but we learn. At first, we don't have confidence, but we gain it. At first, we make mistakes, but we can handle failures. That's true. Like when you're earlier on too, it's like just easier to mess up and you have more time to recover. I wish I took more risks in my 20s because it's like, oh, shoot, I got like 70 more years to fix this if I mess up. Anyway, at first, we're not sure who's building into who we are, but we figure it out. At first, we fake it until we make it. And then at certain points when I make it, I'm still faking it, but it's more convincing that I've made it.
I have fooled you.
At first, you pretend to be who you are, and then you pretend until you become the thing. And at first, we have few opportunities, but when we say yes, we get more.
I think those are all true.
There you go. So how do we get to that point where we can have a little bit better of an intuition? We started talking a little bit about the like assessing our motivations, but it's important to understand where we want our boundaries to be. And we can set boundaries. And I think a lot of people recognize like, okay, setting boundaries is good, but you can also set boundaries in a way that they're too restrictive. They bound you too much, or they're too loose and they push you a little bit too far. So it also has to be the right boundary. And I think this comes along with understanding our goals and also understanding our weaknesses. Case in point, we've all been in that situation where you're invited out to a social event, except every ounce of your being wants to stay home alone on your couch in sweatpants, eating out of the ice cream gallon.
I just feel like that's just so like generic, but okay, go ahead.
Well, that's why I'm leading with a generic here, but we can all relate to this. Well, it's like, do you go out in that moment anyway, or do you call it off? Like, what's the appropriate like decision-making tree? So for some people, maybe they're not really that outgoing, and one of their goals is to just build into their social time a little bit more. In that case, then it seems entirely appropriate to say yes, because this is part of who they want, even if that's not who they are, that's who they want to become, and they recognize the value in it, and you need to push yourself out of that comfort zone. And for other people, it entirely depends on the context and the personality. Like, you might have had an extremely challenging week, and you don't have the emotional energy to make any value of going out socially at that point. And so it is maybe more appropriate to have that boundary to say no. So it's almost like which one in both instances is like the harder thing for you to do. You should probably do the harder thing, whether it's saying yes or saying no.
Okay. I mean, I like that part of it where it's what's the harder thing, right? Like,
I'm glad you approve of
the analogy. Well, it's just like sitting eating ice cream out of the gallon. Does anyone actually do that? I don't know. Like, it's just the image.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I think that's good when we talk about boundaries, because like, I think it's easy to say like, oh, these are my boundaries and whatever. No offense. Until like 2 years ago, I couldn't name a boundary that I had because my boundaries were so loose. And it wasn't until like someone really crossed a boundary that was way far out there that then I was upset about it. And I was like, wait, this means like this is where my boundary line is. And now I understand like what's on the other side of that. And so then that like helped me create those no's. And I've even like even in the last year, you know, like I had this with a client where like I just felt like we signed on for one thing. And what she wanted was outside of that. And I literally said, I will return your deposit. I just think that you've hired me for one thing, but the reality is logistically you need this. And I don't think I'm that person for you. Like, I think you need to find someone else to do that. To which, you know, she talked me into why I was the person and all of that. And it was just like, but now I know my boundaries. And right, like now even my contracts have certain boundaries protecting me against that. That if, you know, we set the contract and you say the event is one thing and it turns out to be something else. Like, I now have the power to say, no, that's outside of my, you know, outside of my service. Yeah. Like,
I feel like you don't have to write that down. Like, isn't that what a contract is? Is like, here's the spell. So what I'm supposed to do.
Right. But I didn't have if you tell me this is the event and then much later, like the scope of the work has changed, like I can basically just tear this up and I don't have to give you your money back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just it's interesting because I think unless you're in a situation, sometimes you don't know what that boundary is. And so like, you don't know at what point you're going to say no. And so it's nice to be like, oh, it's no to these things. But sometimes when you're in the moment, like I get a request and I like, now I'm at the point where I know exactly what I want. I know who my ideal client is. I know where I want to work. I know where I want to go. And when I get requests from people, even in certain ways, I'm like, that's a no. Like I know right away. But that's only because I've said yes to so many different things in a variety of places and spaces with a variety of people for a variety of prices. Like I now know what like my value is, what I'm willing to work for. And I also know what is not worth it. And what's not worth it to me is very different than what's not worth it to somebody else, right? Because I'm looking at opportunity costs. Like if I'm going to work, right, I'm leaving my family for the day. Like there's a bunch of other things that are happening. So like this not only has to excite me, right? I need to be paid for my time because I realize when I'm saying yes to this event, I'm also saying no to like my family. I'm saying no to like what my kids have going on, like, right? While I've probably attended 99% of our kids' activities for their entire life, I've missed piano recitals. I've missed a dance recital. Like there are things that I have missed because I've said yes to one thing. It inevitably means no to something else. And so you do get choosier with your yeses because you realize like, in saying yes to this, unless this like lights me up, right? There's a good chance that now I'm going to have to say no to something else.
Yeah. And sometimes it's really good advice. Like sometimes people are like, you really need to know your worth. But also when you're starting out, like you're really not worth that much.
You're not worth that much. And that's, I had this conversation with somebody else who's getting started in the industry, right? She doesn't charge what I charge. I have 100 weddings under my belt, right? She's got 10. So the level of experience and like the kind of service she's going to provide is different than mine. So I can charge more. So it's like, yeah, you say yes. But even I tell her, I said, first of all, that's, you can't charge that. Like that's too low. And you're like, basically like you're kind of ruining industry standard. Like you have to at least be at that. You have to at least be at that. You can't tell me you're going to work someone's wedding for $100. Like you'll just kind of break the whole scheme here. And so it's just kind of knowing that like, you know, You can find value, you can say yes, but you also have to be a teacher in that too and kind of help others kind of see that as well.
I told our son when he started caddying last summer, like, hey, you know what? Like you're kind of a young punk kid. Like you're really not worth that much as a caddy. But if you stick with this summer by summer, you will become more valuable and that value will be reflected in what you can charge and how people will seek you and tip you and so on.
Yeah.
So all good lessons here. So what are some of the opportunities and requests? What are they coming from? Sometimes we have to say yes and no to others, and sometimes we have to say yes and no to ourselves. So perhaps in some areas we are not saying yes enough. Now it's up to you each to determine what areas those might be, but here's some thoughts that go along with that. If you say yes too often, then life just gets filled with all this mediocre stuff, and much of it is not really helping us work towards anything that we truly value. But some things might seem small, but will have more value later when we no longer have the opportunity to say yes to them. So I think about this, like right now, we're talking about kids, and I think about how our kids are growing up, and it's kind of sad to think like at some point for as chaotic and jubilant as their household can be.
AKA loud.
At some point it will be quiet and I'm very afraid of that future. And so that makes me value the present now. So what am I saying yes to? Well, a lot of the little kid stuff that will soon be gone. Our youngest is 5. And he's quickly growing up and doing, you know, older and older things like reading and joining these activities. So when he wants to do something simple, like, can you play a game with me? Can you play catch? Can you take me to the park? Those are like, even now, it's a yes. It's like, yes, because later on, when you will no longer be asking me to do those things, I'm going to miss them. So I need to say yes to those now because those opportunities will soon be gone.
Well, and we're also just at a spot in parenting, you know, with a soon to be like 14-year-old, 12-year-old, right? 9-year-old. We say no a lot. And so
that's all they do is say no.
Well, yeah. Well, they have these outlandish requests and they think, you know, we just, you know, bankroll just all of these things that they do. And so there's like a lot of no's there. And, you know, I feel like sometimes these kids just need like the littlest wins with like the littlest yeses. And so even this morning, like I got back from the gym and this wasn't even a yes. This was just like creating an opportunity in a space, right, to like connect with Jack, which it's hard to do with a 14-year-old boy. And so the yes was like, right, him running errands with me, quote unquote, meaning at some point in those errands, right? Like saying, hey, did you want to grab a couple of breakfast sandwiches from Chick-fil-A? Yes. Right. Like it's a moment for him to say yes to me in an exciting way that it's like, he'll be in the car with me. He'll talk with me. Like, right. It's just like these little like, yes moments, because our job right now is just always no, 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 no. Yeah. Right. No more video games, no more phones, no, you can't have Snapchat, like, right? Like all of these no's, like how do we create some opportunities for you?
No more snacks.
No more snacks. Yeah. Want some Chick-fil-A? Yeah. But, you know, even just realizing that we have the power to create like special yes moments, you know?
Also saying no to too much turns off our opportunities like a faucet. So, I mean, I tend to think of opportunities like a faucet. And when we say yes, like we're turning it on and that flow is going to increase. It's going to increase the number of opportunities that we have. But if we say no, then we're turning that faucet off slowly. People are going to know not to come to us for things. They're going to know, like, we're not going to take advantage of those opportunities. So those no's can be over time, I don't want to say like toxic, but you know, it's just going to like poison the well of opportunity that you have down the road.
Well, you know, I'm saying yes to an opportunity that's coming up for me this week. And it was like, I knew that I needed to say yes to it. It's like a cool, unique opportunity. And I didn't want to be the girl that said no, because she was afraid.
Well, tell the people what you're
okay. So I'm going to Austin. I'll be in Austin for like 2.5 days. And it's, what do I call it? Like it's Chicago Wedding Planners. They're all women who own their own like wedding planning coordination business based out of Chicago, but we're all going to Austin for like a 2-day, like
everyone's
intensive.
From Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you just meet in Chicago then?
Yeah. I don't know.
I thought if people were from all over going to Austin.
No, we're all going to Austin, like from Chicago.
Oh, I could have had them here at the house. God. Okay. Anyway.
Anyways. So, you know, it's in a more small setting. So it's kind of like a mastermind group basically. So like everybody is in different points in their business. Like everybody has like strategy and planning, and it's kind of like, you know, like asking questions like, you know, what are your goals, like how are you working on those, like even just like logistics and how do you pay staff and like all of these types of things. There's all these questions that we're going to talk about, and I even told you, it's like obviously in some regard these women know more than me, and maybe in some regard I know more than them, but like I'm never going to learn anything else if I just like stay in my own silo and pretend that I know everything and don't think I need to get better. And that's not who I want to be. I think for a long time, you kind of like you say, like fake it till you make it. Like I started my business by myself just based on what I knew and what I learned. But now is like the time to like let other people's experience, like, right, like kind of open the faucet and let it flow. And so like, I don't need to be afraid that maybe I don't know as much as them, right? It's an opportunity for me to learn and grow. It's also for an opportunity for me to share too, you mm-hmm. know? And so like, I told you about it and right away you're like, yes, you should go. And I'm like, I know I should go, but it was like hard for me to say yes, because it's, I don't know, it's different, right? It's mm-hmm. not something like, I don't travel for work. I don't sit in a house, you know, in an Airbnb with 12 strangers that I don't know. Like that's not me, but that doesn't mean that it can't be me.
Right. So we will actually talk more about your experience after you come back on next week's podcast conversation and tie that into some bigger, different things that we've been thinking about too. But those yeses just allow us to extend ourselves beyond our current status quo. And also a yes for now or a yes could just be like a yes for now. It doesn't mean like a yes for always, unless like you get married or have kids. It's like, it's a yes for always with certain caveats.
Good or bad, happy or sad.
But just because you sign up to be on, you know, a part of this thing, like, okay, you should fulfill that commitment. But it doesn't mean like you now always have to be that person now and forever.
And so I think that's when what's important when it's time to say no, right? We've said yes to a lot of different things. And then in those things, you realize what are the things that you're passionate about, or maybe like where can you do the most good, right? And maybe that's something that you hold on to. And then you realize that there are other things that you do that while that might benefit you or others, right? Like that's not a strength of yours, or that's not a passion of yours, or maybe you don't have time, right? Like one thing that you and I have always talked about is like, we have all of these opportunities, but like our first opportunity is each other and our family. And so like, if you're not like loving, protecting, supporting, raising the people in under your roof, like then maybe you need to reprioritize what your other yeses are, right? Like those are the first yeses, mm-hmm. and everything else is after that.
Well, that's where the second half of this comes in too. Perhaps in some areas we're not saying no enough. So when you do say no often enough, then what that does is it frees you up a little bit. When a big yes comes along, a big yes, we often can't accept it or lean into it if there's too much little boring yes stuff that we have already committed to. So if you're just saying yes to everything, then when the big fish comes along and that's like your hell yeah, sometimes it's like, well, shoot, I'm already like tied down to these other things. I can't say yes. So that's where no can come in handy. Also, like people who don't say no, you mentioned this too, we could often become people pleasers. It's just when we need to assess our own motivation. But then you're saying yes, and if you have loads of opportunities and a lot of the good that comes with that, but not necessarily because you want them.
Right. Or it's because it's what we think we should do, right? As a mom, I should say yes to this. I have a friend. I love her. She has 4 kids. And she's like, you know what, Rosanna? I love that you like volunteer here for like this room party, whatever. She's like, that's just not me. Being in a room full of like 20 something kids and like being the craft mom, she's like, that's not me. And so I can say no to that very easily. And she's like, but I know that about myself. And like when she told me that, like, that was like the best thing that I ever heard. Cause like it like made me reassess, like, am I doing these things because I have to? Because that's what I like people expect of me, like, or is it because like I want to do that? And so now instead of helping with 4 room parties a year, I help with 1, right? It's like, yeah, I like to be there and do that and experience it, but like, I don't need to be the head room mom. I don't need to be that person. And if you do, and that's what you want to do, I think that's fine. But it's like kind of like this realization of like, I don't have to. And saying no doesn't make me a bad mom or a bad person, you know?
Side question here. Is there such thing as a room dad? And if not, why not?
I think it's room people, and anybody can be the room head. I'm sorry. But it's like when you volunteer for, yeah, what's the thing at the field day at the end of the year? How many dads are there?
I don't know.
Couple.
Anyway, back to the yeses and nos. And same thing, like when you say no, no could also mean not now. But it doesn't mean you have to be permanently closed off to that thing either. You know, I think about my career, and as I was saying, like there's a ton of yeses that I said, and I was always involved with this committee or usually like multiple committees, and then I kind of worked my way up to saying yes to graduate school and then administration. But after that, and then I think COVID kind of helps like reset everything. Really, like after COVID, there have been a very, like a fraction of the number of things I've done since then compared to like before COVID, just because now I've been teaching for almost 20 years and I've done a little bit of everything that's available. So now I can be much choosier. So when something comes up, I can easily tell myself, you know, I don't have to be the person for this. Like there's a lot of people, a lot of qualified people, it's going to get done well. And I don't have this drive to like put my name on it or build experience or reputation. I've done that. Let me just wait to now then use my experience and reputation on the right thing that comes along. And so that's been, but I don't think I could say that without saying all the yeses for the previous like 15 and 20 years too. And so that just reiterates a lot of what we've been saying already too. And just looking at where I'm at now, there's a mostly no's in my career and in the opportunities that come up. But doesn't mean it's entirely no. So it just means that I'm waiting for and looking for the right things that I can more fully commit myself to.
But it's also, you're saying yes to more things, but it's yes to more things in your life and not in your career.
Well, yeah, right. When you look at the whole scope of life as well.
I mean, it's just like what basket are your eggs in? They're in different baskets now. They were all in one basket for a while, and now you're starting to see your eggs be divided amongst other baskets.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it always goes back to, like, it's worth it if, right, it aligns with my goals. It gets me closer to, like, right, like the relentless pursuit of, you know, these things. And, you know, you said this, and then it's funny because I wrote it down in my own notes. It's like, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no for me, dog, right? Like, I want my yeses, like, I want to be excited about them, and I want to, like, be passionate about them, and then I want to, like, jump right in, like, head on. I don't want to be like a yeah, and then you're, like, mad that you have to do it.
Yeah.
I think there are times when we have to do that, right? Like, we have to put our big girl pants on and do things we don't like to do. But like, when you're talking about the relentless pursuit of your life and your goals, you want to be excited about it.
Yeah. Ultimately, Derek Sievers writes about that as well, too. But he's also the person who was talking about saying yes so often as well. And it, like, you almost have to earn the right to say hell yeah or no.
I mean, we're in our 40s. I think we're at that point.
Right.
I mean, if I was starting something new, I wouldn't be at that point. But like in some of the things that we've started or created, I think like we're at that point.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, you know, I've been a little bit more intentional within the last, say, like the last 5 months related to real estate. And so there have been, I'm kind of at the, like the beginning of something there where there's just a ton of yeses. And so I've talked to you about like, oh, I'm going to like go look at X number of houses per week. And then of those, like you're saying yes to putting offers in X number. And then like slowly but surely, like, you know, you can, and I've talked to more seasoned investors, they get choosier as well, where they were investing like anywhere and everywhere, no matter like what kind of house or price or any situation. And then over time, then they start like grooming their preferences to develop like a particular investing style, particular investing strategy. And I'm kind of at the beginning where I don't really have that yet. I kind of know what I'm looking for, but at the same time, I have to remain open and test drive so many different things and talk to so many different people. Those yeses are of much higher frequency now because I'm still newer at this than a lot of people who might be younger but more experienced. I was talking to this one guy, Zach. He's like 26, and he's giving me tons of advice because he has way more experience than I do.
Right, and his situation is different, right? Like, he can be riskier, right? I'm assuming he's, like, not married and has a slew of kids, right? And so it's like, right, like, even just who you are and where you are and, like, how you've even oriented your life up until this point might determine your strategies for yeses and nos.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyway, this is just another example. So ultimately, like, how do we tell the difference between what we should say yes and what we should say no to? Like I said, this conversation might help or it might confuse because there really is no clear answer. But here's a few guiding principles. We talked about what's motivating us. Is it fear? Fear can make us say yes and no to a lot of things.
So can money.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you think about it, like even like, you know, like I get choosier in my business and there are times where I'm like, well, I don't have to work that wedding, but sometimes I'll throw a price out there and like, I'll go to work for X amount of dollars. And that someone's like, yep. I'm like, okay, then.
Well, then you know, yes and no, like my yes, no line is this dollar amount.
Sure.
And if they want to give me less than that dollar amount, then it's like, you know, it's not worth it.
But I've had that conversation with you where I'm like, is something wrong with me where it's like, well, I won't go to work for that dollar amount, but if you pay me that, like, what does that mean? It just means that I can be choosier because I have so many more opportunities. And yeah. So like, it's that opportunity cost where it's like, it's not worth it for X dollars, but it is for this, right? Like it gets me closer to like, right, a financial goal or what that might look like.
Yeah.
Another vacation. Yes.
Everybody has a price. Yes and no. They should reflect both who we are and who we want to become. Like, I mean, who I am is a homebody, but who do I want to become? I want to be, you know, Mr. Sociable. Right. So you have to like, I guess my immediate yes would be like, let me stay home on the couch. But a more long-term, what I ultimately see value in would be like, get out and be with people.
That might be a good exercise for anybody who's listening. Like, write a list. Like, I am blank. I want to be blank, right? And I bet you could like do that like 8 different times in a variety of places in your life. Like, this is where I'm at now, but this is where I want to become, mm-hmm. right? And then looking at the strategy to go from point A to point B and looking at the yeses and nos that will help put those in alignment.
Yeah. But some of this is self-contradictory too, because the next two things contradict each other. One is be authentic to yourself. Maybe that's like be authentic to yourself, who you are today, who you are by disposition. But the very next thing I've written down is push yourself out of your comfort zone. So it's more like, well, what do I honor? Who I am today or who I want to be tomorrow?
I think it depends on the day.
It depends on what the situation is. So, but we have to just be aware of like, do our yeses and nos serve the bigger picture of who we are and of who we want to be? And so it's another thing I have written down, separate the moment from the long term. And one thing I ask myself all the time, I was talking about this with kids a little bit, is what would I look back on and be glad I said yes or no to? And that's actually really hard because there's certain things maybe we've said yes to that seem right in the moment, but then afterwards it's like, nah, that was dumb. Or other things we said no to because it seemed right in the moment and we look back and say, I wish I had taken advantage of that. So that's actually hard to do, but I do try to do the thing that I'll look back proudly on. So anyway, like back with kids, like I know for sure I'm not going to regret spending time and engaging in experiences with them. So those are easy yeses for me. But sometimes it's not so clear.
That can be tricky.
So we're glad you all said yes to listening to this conversation and hearing us out this far. And if you know anyone that you think this would be good for them to hear, then say yes to sharing this conversation with them and hopefully following up with a healthy conversation of your own with others who are significant with you in your life.
Yeah. And if you're kind of working through this on your own, some questions that maybe you want to ask yourself or a spouse or your partner, you know, what is something you wish you said yes to? What is something you wish you said no to? What's something that you're glad you said yes to? What's something that you're glad you said no to? Because maybe that will help you kind of determine your path moving forward, right? What are the things that excite you? What are the things that, where do you need more boundaries? And where do you go from here?
Yeah. So we hope you are encouraged by this conversation. And if you are, please head over to Apple Podcasts and or Spotify. 5-star rating and review for the show would help us out a ton. So we're looking forward to sharing more with you next week. And until that time, we hope you have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you will use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot.
And relentlessly pursuing what matters.